The following presentation, Janet Network Technology Strategy, was given by Martin Dunmore and Victor Oliver of Janet in March 2013.
Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to this briefing. Victor and I both work in the Strategic Technologies Division with the Network Infrastructure Development. And this is, firstly, I should apologise for having to cancel last week. Both Victor and I have been a little bit under the weather. So if you hear some coughing and clearing of throats, we're still suffering a little bit, but we'll push on regardless. So here's the what we'll be talking about really is the strategy for network technologies. We've within strategic technology we've identified a number of strategy areas which I'll talk very briefly about one slide. The bulk of this talk will be about network monitoring, OAM, which is operations administration and maintenance. Service assurance and automated provision. This is essentially work that we're doing now and we'll carry on doing for some time. And also looking at other areas listed there, which more to do with what we see to be up and coming areas. Not exhaustive, of course, but things that we see as being important. So these are the strategy areas that we've defined. And obviously network technologies is this one. On the community website link there, you'll be able to see the strategy papers for each of those areas. Some of them still haven't been done yet, but most of them are there, I think. The idea is to have online briefings for each one. I think this is the first one. Voice and video is next week, I think, yes. So please go to that link to have a look at the rest of the strategy areas. So for network monitoring, which is obviously for a company like Janet is very important. We've been doing some work for a year or two now on a capacity planning tool. This is essentially a new SNMP-based monitoring tool. So a couple of years ago, we identified the need for a dedicated capacity planner who, when he arrived, soon realized that the existing tools were not really good enough for his requirements. So we embarked on a process of creating a new SNMP-based tool that would help with capacity planning activities and reports. Now, since the capacity planner was new to Janet, obviously we needed a tool that required no intimate local knowledge of the network, so you wouldn't have to know what the existing routers were called and what they were connected to and so forth. Something that you could simply navigate around and be fairly intuitive. So I won't say too much about this for the design implementation. Essentially, we have distributed collectors and we've separated out the actual job processing from the storage and the SNMP polling. One thing we did realize pretty much right at the beginning was that if you're polling for thousands of different objects, you really want something that's quite fast. So we need to write that in native code. That's written in C. And the rest of it is a mixture of open source stuff like CatEye, RRD tool, Python, scripting, probably tools that a lot of people are familiar with. So we're not essentially reinventing the wheel here. Like I said, I've been working on this for a couple of years now. The current status is that we use it internally. It's still a work in progress, and we're continually adding more features and improving it as we go on. We also see this as a good basis for integrating other monitoring needs, which I'll touch on later, and also for providing customer access to a tool like this to be able to see what their links are doing and have a look what their traffic is. The main developer for this is a chap called Ramesh Bhaskaran, and he'll be giving a short talk and a demo at Net Workshop. I think that's on the final day of Net Workshop, if I recall correctly, in the morning, which is a horrible slot just after the social event the night before, so hopefully Ramesh will be awake for that one. Okay, what does the two actually look like? Well, here's a screenshot. We're not brave enough to do a live demo on this. You'll see that at Net Workshop, though. I'm not even sure if you can do a live demo with this. You can. Catherine's nodding, so maybe we could do that another time. Well, here's the core network. And as you can see, most of the pages are sort of based on a weather map like structure. So essentially, you've got the core network there graphically with the up-to-date traffic stats there. You can bring up a particular report by clicking on the links on the graph or by the links, the relative links in the menu. They appear in both places, so you can navigate from one place to the other quite easily. If you obviously this isn't a demo, so we can't show it that well, but hovering the mouse pointer over one of the link arrows will show you the last 24 hours by default traffic of those links. And we also have, if you're not sure how well you can see it on your screen, but we have a sub-menu item under the core network for aggregates, so we can choose different sets of links to aggregate into one graph, into one report. On this page, we have our regional network entry points, or RNEPs. We sort of affectionately call this the wagon wheel. We just wanted a simple way of arranging everything so that we can see at a glance how much traffic is going in and out of the Janet core network from all the regional network entry points, which are simply, in a wagon wheel arrangement alphabetically. Different colours of the RNEP simply indicate who manages them. And gradually they'll turn mostly orange. One good thing about this is at a glance you can also see the total amount of traffic that goes in and out of the Janet core from all the RNEPs, which I can show you on the next page. You do this by hovering over the central icon there. So not only does this show you the aggregate traffic, it also, which is quite useful for capacity planning purposes, show you the top four RNEPs into Janet and out of Janet. For the regional networks themselves, following on from the intuitive graphical kind of theme, we've simply overlaid these on a Google map so you get an idea of where everything is. And obviously, you can bring up the appropriate web page, sorry, weather map page, by clicking on an icon or the relative link. So here's an example of the Eastern Regional Weather Map. Again, it's the usual weather map kind of layout. You hover over a link and it'll show you the graph for the 24 hours. By clicking on it, you go into a more detailed reports page and you can select whichever reports you want, daily, weekly, quarterly, so forth, or put in specific dates and times, the usual kind of thing. Obviously, we can't show you how fast this is. I mean, you'll see that for those of you who come to the Net Workshop talk, you'll see that it works very, very quickly. You don't click on a link for a report and then have to go away for a cup of tea and come back. You get it pretty instantaneously. The icons that look a little bit like the Janet Underground, the Janet Underground, the London Underground icon, there to show you the traffic in and out of the regional links into Janet. So another thing we've done, this is the Aberdeen weather map, and this shows you when you hover over the link from one of the routers to an end site icon, it will show you all the traffic going to and from the end sites out of that router link. Sorry, out of that router with a number of links, so the links are aggregated. So you can see on that graph we've got traffic going in and out of the right-hand side router to all the end sites that it connects, and we also see the top four in and out for the end site. So you can at a glance see who's using most of the bandwidth, which institution, which customers are using most of the capacity. We've also got a weather map for our peerings, and it shows you the major pairings, and it's split north and south. We now have Manchester Telecity, where we have a lot of pairings up there now, Global Transit included. You've probably noticed, if you can see it very well on your screen, the Google link in Manchester is running very hot incoming. We've known about that for a while, but it also goes to show at a glance you can see where potential problems are and plan for them. We can show individual pairing reports by clicking on the appropriate links on the graph, or by clicking on the left-hand menu. We can show pairings alphabetically. We can show the pairings listed by the pop that they're in. And you see the graph at the bottom is a aggregate for all of the external pairings. So that's including the ones not shown on the weather map. They show the major links. As you can see, you get a glance of how much traffic is going in and out of Janet to our external pairings. So the peak in there is around about 140 gig, I think, 130 gig. So yeah, we've been working on this for, like I said, for a year or two now. Obviously, we'd like to enhance some of the capacity planning features. At the moment, our capacity planner essentially takes all the information and still puts it in an Excel spreadsheet. So it would be nice if we can automate that, so we don't have to maintain an Excel spreadsheet. You won't like me for saying that because he loves Excel, but there you go. Also, we include some trending and what if scenarios, so you can alter what if the link to grow by this factor over this length of time. When do we think we would need a link upgrade and so forth. But it's not just about capacity planning. We'd also like to do traffic flow analysis, so not just see how much traffic, but see what the traffic is, where it's going to and from, which applications and so forth. And for that, we need a scalable NetFlow system, which we don't really have. And by scalable, I mean be able to cope with the amount of traffic that we see on Janet. We would see quite easily hundreds of thousands of flows per second. The problem, we do have a project at the moment where we're looking for a scalable NetFlow system. The problem we're having is a commercial off-the-shelf system that meets all our requirements, ticks all the boxes. It's very expensive, we're talking millions of dollars. On the other side of the fence, it will be lacking in features, so it's trying to come to a, trying to find one that's acceptable isn't easy. The other option, of course, is to roll our own, which is something we're thinking about. Okay, further plans also, like I said before, to provide access to the community. Hopefully we'll get some feedback at the Net Workshop demo what people would like to see that we could add in. Also automated reports, this for ourselves as well as the community, where we just generate PDF, maybe put in a PDF plugin, have a generate PDF reports automatically, monthly or weekly or so forth. This would be within a, this is something we prepared earlier. This is an example of what a customer, well, I would say a report on the actual system would like. It wouldn't be a PDF report, but this is something that we have. We had a proof of concept NetFlow system in by a company called Zangati, which provided an API onto their system. So from the capacity planning tool, we could simply say what were the top five endpoints, or what were the top five applications between these times. So we can cross-reference what you see with our SNMP monitoring with what the NetFlow system will be telling us, which would be very useful for not just for ourselves, but also for customers. It's also very useful for our security team as well, because obviously NetFlow is indispensable in being able to detect and analyze security threat detection. So it would be very useful for them as well. The Awake Amongst, you might have noticed that the Light Paths menu item is inactive at the moment. So that's one thing we would certainly like to add and monitor, and something we're working on. But Light Paths is layer two. So essentially we need Ethernet OAM capability. Victor will be talking about that in a moment. So the wider problem is how can we bring this all together with the SNMP NetFlow? We've also got operational support system things we can do, metrics we can obtain from that, generate alerts and so forth, customer logins and generate reports and so forth. We've recognized the need for a dedicated team to be able to do this, and this team would essentially own and be responsible for all of the monitoring tools, and be responsible for development, for the operation of them, and for the maintenance, of course. The important thing is that whatever we do here, it needs to be sustainable. That we don't just create something that one person knows how it works, how it's put together, and then 2 years later they've gone and we're back to the same position again. So that's in discussion at the moment, and we're hoping to we can create this group, and we can get cracking on a lot of the good ideas, hopefully later this year sometime. So I'll now hand over to Victor, who's going to talk about Ethernet OAM.
Okay.
Go. So now.
Thank you, Martin. Okay, so Ethernet OAM is another prospective area we've been investigating for the last several years. And as you know, originally Ethernet was a purely local area network technology, so no OAM at all. But for any carrier-grade transport technology, technology should have some OAM capability because it's a nervous system of the network, and any network administrator would like to know as much as possible about the state of network boxes. And fortunately, in 2007 and 8, two different but complementary standards were developed. IEEE developed the standard which is known as a CFM, Connectivity Fault Management, or .1AG, and the ITU developed a standard which is known as a Y.1731 standard. And generally, Y.1731 standard just extends the CFM functionality into performance monitoring area. So why it's useful? Because it allows you to monitor Ethernet segments or any multi-domain segments with different transport nature, for example, Ethernet, MPLS, SDH, OTN, but with Ethernet UNI interfaces. And these standards, they are developed for multi-domain environment, which is very important for us because even inside of NREN, you can find several domains, like, for example, GENET core and GENET regional networks. And these standards, they more or less repeat SDH and even IP functionality for troubleshooting, like link tracing, and provide some hierarchical viewpoints. And GENET has been involved in different activities in this area to understand what it's all about and what is the state of this, or what is the state of Ethernet OAM. And we participated in Ethernet OAM trial in Jan 3 context, GRA 1 task 1 last year. So we're still participating in expanded trial in Jan 3 year 4, which is going to finish in this month, March. So report is due. Probably we'll be able to read this report sometime in May. And we started our own internal GENET project in this area. And hopefully we'll be able to investigate Ethernet OAM functionality by monitoring GENET Lightpass and some bandwidths on demand users. Okay, it's a quite busy slide, but it just illustrates some standard approach to Ethernet OAM monitoring. You can see here two domains, GENET OAM testbed and PSNC testbed, connected by LightPass. And so you can see four hierarchical levels of heartbeat messages. It's a generally is main mechanism of CFM and Y.1731. And each layer allow you to independently monitor connectivity between maps, measurement, maintenance endpoints. But it's still the same Ethernet service, mostly defined by VLAN ID. But these four independent levels allow you to monitor different segments and generally to locate faults not only on end-to-end basis, but hopefully to understand what segment or even what box is guilty. Okay, next area is service assurance. It's close to service monitoring, but it's a little bit different because it aims at testing whether Ethernet service or service with Ethernet UNI works exactly like it's supposed to work. Whether this service matches CIR committed information rate or CIR plus EIR. If you use EIR, for example, Janet Lightpath doesn't use EIR, and generally it's about generating traffic. So it's a disruptive test, generating traffic up to CIR and at the same time measuring all performance metrics like packet loss, packet delays, and so on and so on. Then generating traffic up to CIR plus EIR, which mostly means up to policing level, and beyond this to see whether the network police traffic properly. And there are also a new standard in this area, Y.1564, which replaces or complements older standard RFC 2544 is mostly for IP networks and is IP centric and it's quite long time to test everything with different sizes of packets and so on, several hours. Y.1564 much faster and it does exactly what is required. Okay, I think I highlighted this. So next slide. Janet has been involved in several trials, and currently in the framework of our internal Janet service assurance and monitoring project, we're going to test several light paths, including a light path between Lumen House to Bristol University. And the last week, we did some tests with our partners from NordUNet. So we tested the link between Lumen House to Copenhagen, and more or less everything went as expected. And this project I mentioned, General Service Assurance and Monitoring Project, so it's an ongoing project. We're going to finish it in August 2013, and hopefully results will be available on our website. Okay, another area is automated provisioning or bandwidth on demand. Probably, as you all know, bandwidth on demand currently it's a production service of Giant, but not all NRANs participate in providing this service as a production service. For example, some countries still trialing this service, including us. And what we've been trying is a autobahn-based system. There are several software available on the market. Autobahn probably the most known to European users, for European academic users. Oscars more popular in States here as well, and there are several commercial, of course, software tools. But we started using Autobahn a couple of years ago, and currently we've got test bed. It's not a production service, still trialing, and so we've got Autobahn installed in our test bed with two main pieces of software, domain manager and interdomain manager. And our interdomain manager talks to other IDMs and is able to establish any dynamic Ethernet service through NRENs, which participate in this bandwidth on demand service. Generally, it's quite a difficult task because of different vendors, multi-vendor environment. So it's a hierarchical structure of software, and the IDM, NDM normally require some technology proxy which talks to the particular vendor equipment. And currently we use some Juniper MX technology proxy, which was developed by PSNC. We have not so many users of this trial. Generally two Nexpress project and Bonfire project. Nexpress, it's mostly Dante client because they are connected directly to Gianto Dante bandwidth on demand software. While Bonfire is our client, Bonfire project is connected to our software. And there is a specific of Bonfire project because normally all bandwidth on demand users use Autobahn or any other Autobahn GUI portal to make requests for service provisioning. Bonfire uses some software to make automated request. And here you see a diagram which shows our testbed, Genet Bandits on Demand testbed, Bonfire project connected to Eastman, and some light paths which connect Bonfire to Genet testbed, and through Genet testbed to Jean Bandits on Demand testbed. It's not quite normal place for Autobahn or Bandwidth on Demand software because you see it's a little bit side placed for our testbed. Maybe it would be better if Autobahn would be located within Lightpass core or Lightpass regional networks, but it's not the case at the moment because currently we have some problems with the current Autobahn software. For example, technology proxy software for Juniper we use not completely matches to our NOC practices, and unfortunately it's been probably a couple of years we're trying to improve this technology proxy, but it's quite difficult. So maybe it's quite likely we will develop our own Juniper technology proxy using Junos space, how, for example, recently Dante did, because they switched to Juniper platform and they started to use Junos space like a domain manager. And hopefully we will be using some open source interface between Bandwidth on Demand components, which is called NSI Network Service Interface. It's open standard, and fortunately Autobahn in IDM supports it at the moment. Well, so we hope to have some extended testbed and hopefully more users to test this service. Now to you, Martin.
Okay, thanks, Victor. Remember to unmute my microphone. Very clever. So the other areas are not so much work that's happening now, but work that we see may be up and coming. Obviously, there's new transmission capabilities all the time. Now, when Janet 6 goes live, the DWDM channels are going to be 100 gig by default. And with up to 88 channels in the network, obviously that's nearly 9 terabits per second capacity. So probably unlikely to need to ramp up to 400 gig channels there for some time. But nevertheless, it probably will happen in the lifetime of Janet 6, and who knows, maybe up to 1 terabits per second. I mean, 400 gig channels are realistic now. When Renata have done trials without Hellucent, and they now have an operational 400 gig channel between Paris and Lyon. But we've got no plan trials in Janet yet. We'll do them as and when needed. The Sienna Kit 6500 platform will obviously be upgradable to that. We'll need to have good capacity planning in order to determine when that would be appropriate. And this is where the new capacity planning tool will help, especially when we can interface with the Sienna NMS and get optical metrics and for each channel and so forth. Another thing that we can do in Janet 6 is have the capability to accept alien waves. An alien wave is essentially an optical signal that's originating from a piece of equipment that isn't controlled by the Janet network, isn't part of the Janet network. So it just gets transparently switched across the network. There are some use cases under discussion. Like I say, this is work that we see up and coming, and not necessarily that we're doing now, but there's a couple of users who may see this as sort of a niche case, and we can serve it. Another area is something called software-defined networking, which the last couple of years or so has become a bit of a sexy subject. It's nothing new. It's really been in the domain of network research for a while now. But now it's starting to become, shall we say, popular, and vendors are starting to offer SDN capabilities, either their own flavor or some kind of standard version like OpenFlow, which is sort of vendor independent. But essentially, what it does is to separate the control and indeed the management plane from the data plane on devices, so that the control and management is essentially done in some central or reasonably centralized location, and it can be defined in software. The idea is that it could reduce equipment costs, where equipment essentially gets boiled down to switch fabrics with appropriate API support for the software-defined networking offering. Because this is coming quite popular, we thought it's piquing quite a few people's interest, including some people here. We thought we'd hold a bird of a feather meeting, or aka BOF, at Network Shop. That's Tuesday the 9th. Hopefully we'll get to discuss what the various flavors of software-defined networking are, what the vendors offer, what's going on in industry, academic deployments. Example is Google. They use OpenFlow, which is a version of software-defined networking, to operate their global data centers to do traffic engineering between them. There's some academic deployments, notably Bristol, involved in the Ophelia project, which is a Framework 7 project. Also, I know Lancaster are hoping to roll out a software-defined networking in their InfoLab building. But also, we'd like to, get some heads together and discuss practical and community issues. Practical issues like, well, what switches are available, what things like power over Ethernet, things like some switches and routers don't actually have this in production code, but some do. So those kind of practical issues come to light, as well as community issues like, would it be an idea to have a special interest group, another Gmail list, things like this, to try and gauge interest and demand for any activities in this area that we can help out with. Another area, which is I've called it future routing and addressing. Essentially, it's over the last few years there've been movements within the IETF that recognise that some of the future and dare say existing challenges are fairly incompatible with the way the IP addressing architecture actually works. So challenges like site multi-homing, mobile hosts, mobile networks, anything that's network virtualization, putting networks in the cloud, essentially what where you have IP endpoint address and it can change. And you'd like to be able to change that without breaking applications, without making it into a big ordeal. And there's been a number of proposals over the years. Probably the one that's got the most success is something called LISP, Locator ID Separation Protocol, because all of these essentially realize that current IP addresses do two things. They locate something, but they also provide identity. So recognition, if you separate those out into an appropriate protocol, then you'd be able to have some kind of mapping or level of indirection in between where you can resolve one to the other and hopefully provide things like multi-homing and mobility without breaking things. Another one which works slightly differently, LISP uses essentially tunnels. This is called ILMP, which St Andrews have done a lot of work on. And they've got recently been granted RSC status for their proposals. This actually works by looking up, using the DNS to look up the locators applicable to any given identity. Now, it all sounds fairly dry and boring. It's difficult to picture what it can do. So, there's some activity in the certainly the network research area in the UK and elsewhere. So we're looking at possibly facilitating technology trials to look at what the operational issues are for us, what benefits can be realised against the associated costs, and possibly have a UK test bed for interested parties. And that's the final area that we're thinking of. So I guess we can go to questions.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.